Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. You can change the subject. You can tell us how you feel about the terrible things we say and how wrong we are. 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And I got some of those shirts, and I'm really happy about them. Do you have any of those, Mark?
The liberty-minded shirts?
Yeah.
I'm not, well, I don't get my Free Talk Live shirts off the internet. They're usually handed to me. So I don't know which ones that I have that are on Liberty Minded and which ones aren't. I've obviously had many of those design shirts throughout the years. And my favorite one is the Texas Are Theft one, which we, Free Talk Live, sort of, we believe, started the meme of taxation is theft with these T-shirts back in, what did you say it was, 2017?
I thought it was 2015 when we were talking about this. We'd have to bring it back up, but you found proof of how far back it was. And as far as I know, no one was saying taxation is theft all the time until this T-shirt was made. And I'm really sad right now because I can't find mine. I have a vintage Taxes Are Theft shirt. I even wore it to Ian's trial. So that's the last time I for sure know that I had it. And I have no idea where it is right now. And it's making me really sad. Because it's vintage and really cool, and Ian gave it to me. But in the studio, well, on the show with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark.
And let's just go straight to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Dave Ridley in New Hampshire on the phone. Dave, from RidleyReport.com, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Well, something I wish was not on my mind.
Uh-oh.
So I have a question for you. When a political candidate orders an ad run on your channel but fails to pay for it, is it appropriate to inform the public?
I think so.
Yeah, I would agree, especially if you have some kind of... So you want to be careful that this guy can't come like against you for some kind of libel or slander or something, this political candidate. But, you know, I'm sure you have some, you know, communications you could probably screenshot, or as long as you feel
you
should
ask a lawyer, definitely. But.
Well, as long as you can feel you can verify in that, you know, he agreed to pay you and you did an ad and you're stating he didn't pay you, I mean, I think you're pretty okay to expose
him. Morally, I agree that you should do it. You should expose.
Right. I think that's where I would come from on this, is that if this is so, and I'm not verifying or denying that this occurred, but if this is so, then the people who would vote for him or her and donate to the campaign or and that sort of thing need to know how they conduct business, you know.
So who is it? I want to know.
unfortunately, this is someone considered generally a constitutionalist candidate who I would have probably voted for if this hadn't happened. It's Therese Bastarache. Do you know her?
Oh, Therese Grinnell. Yeah, she's a really bad person. No one should really support her. She's terrible to everyone who tries to work with her. She turns against them. She's like, loves drama. She's not a libertarian for sure. And she was really mean to Ian once when Ian has done nothing but be nice to her.
Okay, interesting. So I'm not alone in my think. Well, I don't think necessarily exactly the same as you. I think it's appropriate to focus on what's actually been said. And so I have kept the transcripts of all our communications, and I've published the raw transcripts on forum.shiresociety.com if anyone wants to read the whole exchange. But I have some specific quotes I want to get into that were the most, some of the more disturbing ones. But you're going up to a break, aren't you?
No, we just got off break. So okay, you should tell us.
Okay, so here's, several different things. First of all, she ordered an ad run in late January. I wouldn't expect her to pay for it in late January. I started doing some of the work, before receiving any payment. Then she saw one of my ambush interviews, and she didn't think I should have ambush interviewed that politician. And she didn't like my questions, and she wanted to renege, which is, in and of itself, that's workable. We can talk about that. So we did start talking about that. I suggested, well, why don't we do cut the fee in half. I've done about half the work. It was going to be $300. Let's just make it $150. She got really angry at me at that point. And, that was after some time had gone past. And so, I posted 2 days ago, I posted this to the Shire forums, just posted the raw conversation, no summary and no opinion of my own. And right after I posted that, I sent it to her, and immediately I received this quasi-threatening email from a man identifying himself, accurately or not, as a Walter Kirsch. It reads, quote, "Blackmail? Really? You should be careful who you F-bomb with," unquote. And he didn't say F-bomb.
Yeah.
So that was one concerning quote. And the other one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is this Walter? Oh, man, did he run for state representative, this guy?
I don't know.
Boy, I'm gonna just hold on a second. I'm going to look this up.
All of her, if this helps you figure it out, all of her friends are, like, right-wingers, and there are those people that think, like, oh, I'm a libertarian, too, now, because I was against the lockdowns and the stupid COVID measures, which is, it's great. You were against the lockdowns and the stupid COVID measures. Good for you. But you don't automatically become a libertarian when you still believe in coercion and violence at the state of the, at the hands of the state, but just, like, the kind of coercion and violence you actually like. She did one thing that was interesting. She was a nurse during the COVID lockdowns in 2020, and she just went outside in, I think it was Manchester, and just held a sign saying, like, stop the lockdowns. It's ridiculous. And over time, the first time she did it, it was like, oh, I feel silly being out here doing this. And then over time, like, one person joined her, then two people joined her, then there was, like, I don't know, hundreds of people that would weekly go to her protest that she had started. And, you know, that's like a great thing. It doesn't make you a libertarian, though, and it doesn't make you a good person.
So Walter Kirsch says here, candidate profile, Merrimack House District 8, Bradford, Henniker, Warner. So I ran for state rep as
a
Republican.
Was he a Democrat?
No.
Oh.
He ran as a Republican.
Hmm.
And I remember trying to get a hold of him because there was a debate,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't make it into the primary, and he made it into the primary. So it was him, James Parker. I can't remember the other guy's name. There was three people running in this district, and we were all trying to get a hold of him because there was a debate between the Democrats and the Republicans put on at, I don't know, some Rotary Club or something, but for that particular district, and the only Republican that showed up was James Parker. We couldn't get a hold of Walter Kirsch, and we couldn't get a hold of the other guy. In fact, James went to Walter's house to try to find him. It was listed for his address, and he wasn't around because it would have been good to have, like, the other two Republicans that were, that were going to be on the ballot actually at the debate. We were, like, pretty annoyed with this guy. Hey, you know, you ran for this office and you didn't, and you won the primary and you did not go to the debate.
So
why
it was just
not?
All Democrats there?
Right, so it was three Democrats and one Republican and three total garbage, mentally ill, very woke Democrats, you know, like child chopping, supporting, mask wearing, vaccine
but
mandate.
But James was able to debate them?
And James was there debating them. James is a very good, principled, libertarian.
I'm sure that was entertaining. I like him.
And so what was interesting is that, like, Walter never showed up. He was like, come on, dude, where were you? And so, yeah.
Did he cuss you out or something? Like, if he cussed you out, then most likely it's Therese Grinnell.
No,
Therese,
well, actually, so my interaction with Walter Kirsch was very pleasant. I met him. We were sign holding together on election day at the Henniker Town, where they do the elections, the polls. And yeah, he was. I thought he was a great guy. We chatted about all kinds of things, and we agreed on very, very. He seemed very much libertarian to me, anyways.
Who was the politician that she didn't think that you should ambush interview?
Well, first of all, we should make clear there's no definite verification that this really was Walter Kirsch.
Okay.
From a Facebook account called Walter Kirsch, so it doesn't prove that it was from him. It's possible. It's just I'm just telling you what the Facebook account said. She was. I don't know the name of the politician I was questioning. He refused to speak to me, basically. So this is one of the guys who. I had asked him, I said, what have you done from your position at the New Hampshire State House? What have you done about the Sununu rape camp?
Okay.
This is the biggest scandal in New Hampshire history, right?
Yeah,
the Sununu detention center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that detention thing. And so he ordered me to turn the camera off, refused to answer the question, but she likes him, so.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Dave.
You know, so she didn't think I should have ambushed. And I wasn't ambush interviewing him after she commissioned the ad run. This is something that had aired 3 or 4 months ago. And I think I sent her a copy in response to a request from her. And she didn't like, when she saw it, she didn't like it. She wanted to know if I'd done anything about the Sununu Rape Center. And that's one of the things I've done is question state reps about it. And then she got angry about me doing that. But again, that's okay. It's her right to decide what she thinks I should do in terms of interviews and whether she should advertise or not. That's not the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is committing and not paying and then trying to make me delete videos. So let me tell you about this.
I will say this, Dave, as somebody who has worked in media for a very long time, is as soon as somebody gives you $1, they suddenly think they're the executive producer of your media. And you have to be prepared, like you were, to just, you know, cut your losses and say, hey, look, you know, you got your rights here or whatever, but I'm going to do the media I'm going to do. That was the media that you were interested in advertising on in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all in the transcripts. But, she wants me. We got far enough into the process that she ordered three different types of ads for three different things. And, I had already aired one of the ads and sent it to her. You know, she approved the copy and then I produced the ad and sent her a copy of it after it aired. And, so she wants that video taken down, the one that her ad is in. She doesn't want to be in that video anymore.
Hmm.
So she's ordered me to take down the video, but she hasn't paid for anything. She hasn't sent me a nickel. So I don't think I don't really work for her at this point. So I don't think I should be taking the video down. So you can just, if you go to forum.shiresociety.com, there's a thread called Questionable Behavior by Executive Council Candidate Therese Bastarache, and that has a summary, and you can just go from there.
So, Dave, I have a couple questions for you and a suggestion. So you have been sort of investigating this Sununu Rape Center. You've been talking to politicians about it. Have you interviewed any victims by any chance?
Well, I tell you what, you know, the thing I should say to you is the thing that politician maybe should have said to me. I mean, I don't know, this politician has actually apparently done some things to help. But if I were a politician and someone asked me that question, I think I would probably say I haven't done enough. And that's what I have to say to you. I haven't done enough. I wish I had done more. I did go out there maybe 2013 or something. Lou D'Alessandro suggested I go out to the facility. And I did go to the facility and asked around, poked around a little bit, asked some questions of some people who worked there, but I just couldn't get very far with it, you know, that's what I did then, and this interview is what I did, you know, a couple months ago, but it's not enough. I need to do more. I've done some talk radio calls about
you
it.
You okay. Should definitely go to Paris Hilton's Twitter. Why do I say that? Because just yesterday, she posted that the New Hampshire's, and she tagged the New Hampshire Democrats and the New Hampshire GOP, should stand with SB 417 that aims to fix the out-of-home residential placement system by keeping kids near their families. Can you believe that? That Paris Hilton is interested in a New Hampshire bill that,
So now that we're going to talk about Paris Hilton, I'm going to suggest to Paris Hilton and Dave Ridley something to do. So, Dave, you said you haven't done enough. Well, is kind of like, you know, oh man, I didn't buy Bitcoin 10 years ago. Well, the best time to buy Bitcoin is probably today. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't plant that, you know, apple tree 10 years ago. Well, the best time to plant that apple tree is today. Well, maybe in a few weeks.
You didn't invest in Bitcoin 10 years ago. Now's the best time.
Right. So you said you haven't done enough. Well, Dave, you're a pretty informed guy. I think that you would be someone good to go testify Monday at the committee to investigate New Hampshire DCYF. Is going to be at the Legislative Office Building, room 203. This is in Concord, New Hampshire. And it is a they're going to have a work session from 9 to 11 a.m., and then public is invited to testify at 11 a.m. And I recommend people put themselves under oath. There's been a big hoopla about they kick Leah Cushman off this committee, and they put on this other woman, Erica, I forget her last name. I did actually meet her this past weekend.
Didn't you say Leighton or something?
Leighton, I believe. I hate to say the names wrong. But she's on the committee now. We'll see what happens. But basically, that committee needs people to testify under oath about what's going on with DCYF. So DCYF is, you know, just creating massive, massive liabilities for the people.
It's the Division of Children, Youth, and Families, for anybody that doesn't know, because it's usually called CPS, Child Protective Services, in other states.
So anyways, Dave, and Paris Hilton, come to one of these committees and testify. Now, Monday might be short notice for you guys. And there will be another committee hearing, I believe, getting scheduled later. I believe, although there is the possibility that they're really trying to stall this and shut this hearing up because the people are waking up. The people are understanding that they are the masters and the people in government are the servants, and they're starting to act and treat them like that. And we have done notices and affidavits to the legislature to basically bring DCYF in alignment with the law. And the law is due process of law. DCYF and family court are not using due process of law. They're stealing children without due process of law. They're putting people's names on communist, socialist, Nazi-style lists without due process of law. And it's this agency, as far as I'm concerned, is comprised of a cultural rot and cultural decay with its employees, who are a bunch of woke, essentially activists and vigilantes that are targeting people who aren't complying or, you know, acting within the narrative. And we have a lot of evidence and a lot of proof of this. I am going to be there on Monday with some testimony. I'm going to keep it short and brief. And I'm going to actually be testifying at every single committee hearing afterwards, because I have a lot of information to give these guys. The problem is I'm kind of like a fire hose trying to fill up a shot glass. So I got to, like, you know, just, you know, they're just people, you know, on this committee. They can only digest so much information at a time. But, Dave, I think if you got some stuff that these committee that this committee needs to hear, things that, you know, you want to tell them, that would be a good place for you and also Paris Hilton to show up and testify under oath.
Well, I wish I could be in Concord every day. But there is one piece of good news related to this that's coming out of Concord, and that is that State Rep. Jason Gerhard is trying to mediate this situation between me and Therese. She called him, I guess, and he called me quickly. And his suggestion has been, okay, how about a payment plan, just $5 a month for 2 years? It's not ideal. But that's probably something that would let us move forward if that happens. So, he's working on that. But meanwhile, she sent me a message today. It says, quote, "If you do not remove We the People promo from the NH exit and confirm such by end of today, I will seek appropriate recourse," unquote.
Wow.
So that's the video.
So here's how I'd respond to that. My rate for, you know, IT, computer, network, you know, internet services is X amount of dollars per hour or per session. And once you have paid me, then I will go ahead and I will provide this service for you. But you can't force me to do anything.
She's crazy.
Without paying me.
It's only a matter of time before she turns on Jason Gerhart too, and then suddenly she hates him and there's drama with him and she's calling the cops on him or whatever. She is crazy. She's not actually like a good person. She's a bad person. And this is more proof I've seen it a million times now. Oh, I was just saying, I've seen a lot of instances of things exactly like what you're saying.
I've enjoyed talking with her over the years for the most part, and I look forward to being on the same side as her again at some point. This will pass like everything else. But I didn't even want to call you about it. I waited 2 days, you know, and in a sense I waited, you know, over a month. So, yeah, it's just time for the public to know my concerns.
It sounds like she doesn't really want to, I mean, if Jason tried to mediate and then she texted you something like that, it really does sound like she doesn't want to be, to find a, you know, a peaceful solution. So I don't blame you for calling in about it. Moving on, thank you for the call, Dave Ridley. Anybody who wants to check his videos out, ambushing politicians and stuff like that, things that we really appreciate him for doing, you can go to RidleyReport.com. You can also find, if you go to Free Talk Live SoundCloud and look up Bonnie's Activist Archives, I did a really long, like a 50-minute interview with Dave Ridley about his whole history of his channel and his activism, and it was awesome. I should do more of those, but my husband went to jail, so I have excuses. But moving on from Peter St. Ange, his Substack, where he writes articles. I brought this story in today to see what Mark and Jay have to say about this. It says, America's farms are getting wiped out. And that's kind of a scary thought. America's farms are getting wiped out. It starts off by showing a graph. Farm production expenditures total and average per farm by year. United States 2013 to 2022, and it's doubled or more. The total expenditure that they have to spend to make money, obviously, has gone up so much from around 360,000 to, not doubled, sorry, just is a weird graph, 360,000 to 460,000 per year to run a farm. It's pretty crazy.
Well, that's on a, you know, it looks like it's on a broad spectrum average, and these are obviously farms that are, like, you know, filing paperwork. These are all government subsidized farms where this data is coming from.
And inflation, everything costs more money with inflation.
So you have the price of diesel fuel was $6, you know, a year and a half ago, and farms are tremendously dependent on diesel fuel. The price of hay in, like, the Texas area, Colorado, Nebraska, like, the kind of hay that you feed dairy cattle is, like, $650 to $700 a ton right now.
Whoa.
We just said that day-old calves at auction are bringing $1,000. Mark, those market hogs, the 305-pound to 320-pound market hogs, which are the ones buyers want, 88 cents is what their average was a pound. And you can't even feed
on the hook.
On the hook, yep, 88 cents a pound. But those big corporate farms, they basically feed all those hogs garbage.
More coming up at 603-283-6160. You can get your thoughts in on the air with us, 603-283-6160, Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. An immigration riot is unfolding in El Paso, Texas. Accounts indicate the Texas National Guard faced a significant challenge as waves of illegal immigrants tried to break through border barriers on Thursday. Footage depicts a number of migrants engaging in altercations with soldiers. Attorney General Merrick Garland says Apple has monopolized the smartphone market. He announced in a briefing on Thursday that the Justice Department, along with a coalition of state attorneys general and district attorneys, is suing Apple for allegedly breaching antitrust laws.
Despite surging mortgage rates, home sales in the U.S. reached their highest level in a year in February. The National Association of Realtors revealed that existing home sales surged by almost 10% compared to the previous month. This marks the second consecutive month of increased sales, indicating a rebound from the fall's decline attributed to those high mortgage rates. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us for this last segment of Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark.
And we do have a caller on the line. We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to say, Jay, I will be there Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and if Dave Ridley needs a ride, I'm happy to pick him up and bring him there.
You guys are both on Telegram. I could probably get you guys connected on there if you don't have his contact info.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, and you know,
yeah.
So just know, you know, the public hearing part doesn't start till 11, and which means that at 11 o'clock, if they stop the actual, you know, work part of the, you know, the committee, then they'll have like a 15-minute break that usually turns into a half an hour, or they might run over. But just so you don't, like, think like you're ready to go talk at 9:15, you're going to have to, you know, sit around here for a couple hours and listen. But anyways, just so you're aware of that.
Yeah, can you tell me, is this going to be filmed at all, or is it going to be live?
Yeah, so actually there probably will be some news media there, and they actually have a house, so it's a New Hampshire house live stream on YouTube. They actually have their own YouTube channel, and they have a pretty good camera set up. They have good microphones. I think they do hard copy recording. I see like there's like a camera set up. There's like a whole like IT department, you know, in that state house that actually seems to do a relatively good job, best I can tell. So you can watch it right on YouTube, and they live stream all these, you know, committees. Sometimes there's multiple live streams on the house, the New Hampshire House YouTube channel all at once.
Exactly, and I know I've seen them before, but the thing that's important is that when you go to these hearings, you want to make sure that you can hear everyone and that everyone can hear you, because I've noticed not in those hearings, but other hearings, you can't hardly hear someone, or it's, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
they have microphones, and sometimes you do have to, like, project your voice and stuff. Well, it'd be great for you guys to show up, and I'll try to connect you with Dave Ridley.
The most important thing about this hearing is you need to put yourself under oath. It's real simple. You just raise your right hand and say, I, Jay Noon, solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, Great Spirit, or God, or just... You don't even have to say, so help me God, or anything like that. You just swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's very important that it's under oath. These guys, the establishment, Republicans and Democrats, that have become parasites that are addicted to the crack cocaine called federal money from the Social Security Administration, that is, you know, tons of it comes out of DCYF and Family Court because of the, you know, because of the Child Safe and Families Act of 1997 that was, you know, ushered in by Jeffrey Epstein's frequent flyer, good buddy, Billy Clinton, in 1996 or 97, gives tons of money to the states for, based on the performance of DCYF, doing assessments and all this stuff. They do not, they are so worried that their golden egg-laying goose is going to be shut down because it's operating without law, it's operating without due process, and now we're finally having people testify under oath, and this is why they kick Leah, like Sherman Packard, who's a establishment thug Republican, Speaker of the House in New Hampshire, who is committing maladministration. You go to my website, jnoon.com, and you will see there's an affidavit of maladministration of Sherman Packard. I think it's the fourth button down, right on my website there. You should read that affidavit from Chris Noyes. There should be one available publicly on a Jot form very soon, because this guy needs to be dealt with. But it's very important to put yourself under oath at this hearing, and I hope everybody does.
Now, they kicked Leah Cushman off for suggesting that people should be under oath, and
yep.
I think that's pretty telling. It's like, we don't want people telling the truth here.
Right, so because what they want to do is what they've been doing right along, is it's just putting the, you know, the dirt under the carpet. They are not, nothing is happening. They have, you know, there's these complaints that have been going on and on and on. And basically what they've been doing is they've been buying the silence of the victims by settling massive lawsuits.
Terrible, really sad.
Just internet search, New Hampshire DCYF settlements. They've been... Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent. The Sununu Rape Center is another big thing that's costing the taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. And
what did you say, Mark?
And what is that?
The Sununu Detention Center, I think, is the full name. And there were, I think, over 100 people that came out.
150 people have come out, said that they were raped multiple times. They were beaten.
They're not allowed to talk about it now because they got given, like, laughable amounts of money. It's a really sad thing. Oh, by the way, thanks for the call, Rob from New Hampshire.
So what they're doing is they're just... And so basically, if this committee, which as far as I'm concerned, the committee to investigate DCYF has more than enough testimony under oath, which is actual evidence, to shut DCYF down, to shut family court down, and to shut superior court down and circuit court down, based on just two people testifying. Andrew Noyes and another guy testifying what due process of law is. Mm. And there's also affidavits have been filed that have not been rebutted. And these guys are literally laughing. Like the Speaker of the House laughs at Leah Cushman and tells him that these affidavits from the people mean nothing. Mm. And so these guys are clearly diabolically evil,
yeah,
or they're stupid. And I don't think that they're stupid. I think that they're evil, and
yeah,
they lust for power. But anyways, this and if after this committee does nothing, and there is more liabilities ushered onto the people of New Hampshire because more children are injured, more families are injured, more people are trespassed on by DCYF and family court, and they're not operating under due process of law, which
they
never have.
And then the taxpayers ultimately pay those settlements
Correct.
Out. So that's why you're saying that it's a liability to the people.
Yeah, it would be really nice if the New Hampshire Division of Risk Management, which is called Risk and Benefit, New Hampshire Division of Risk and Benefit, got massive, massive amount of 93A requests, right to know requests, for how much money they have paid out for settlements having to do with DCYF and family court. Because the number is astounding. One state representative told me, and he's supposed to be getting back to me with an actual solid data on this, which he's been really having a hard time coming up with. But he told me in the past decade, it's over $300 million have been paid out just in New Hampshire alone due to the crimes of DCYF and family court.
And if you were a Democrat and you claim to care about, like, women, children, rights, and, you know, people not being raped, and you can listen to these testimonies and all you care about is kicking Leah Cushman off for saying that people should voluntarily, not be forced to, but should voluntarily be under oath for this, obviously you're a sick freak. And it's so obvious to me that these people who support DCYF don't actually care about children and families and women and all the stuff that Democrats claim to care about. They care about the money that they get, and it's freakish the way that these people, the Democrats that were on the committee, in lockstep, they thought of a way, they got Leah Cushman kicked off so that way they could get in control of this committee. And one of them specifically said, we aren't going to bring any charges against anyone. What if somebody needs charges brought against them because they're doing stuff to basically human trafficking? That is human trafficking, and people like to throw that word around, like Sarah from New Mexico likes to call it human trafficking when a woman voluntarily sells her body for, you know, sex or money. But that's just watering down that word. An actual example of human trafficking is when these government freaks, the parasite class, these parasite people in the gang called New Hampshire Division of Families, Youth, blah, 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 DCYF, go to someone's house and threaten them and illegally take their children from them and give it to a child abuser. It happens all the time, and I can't believe that these Democrats care more about money than actually investigating that.
Well, they care about their pensions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the judges care about their pensions. The prosecutors care about their pensions. Anyone who's worked in a judicial branch is getting a massive amount of their pension fund is being funded specifically by the performance of DCYF and family court. And this is under Social Security Administration Title 4D. Check it out. There is this guy, Jeffrey Younger. If you look up him on YouTube, Jeffrey Younger Child Support, he gets really into the Texas code on this, which is basically the same thing in New Hampshire, from what I understand. I haven't found it yet. That, like, basically child support awards, the family court is told in the statutes for how to make awards for child support is they're supposed to make the awards which benefits family court getting the financial incentives from the federal government, not based on what's best for the children.
That's sickening.
Because for every dollar in child support paid, the judicial pension fund gets a 66% incentive of that money injected directly into it from the Social Security Administration, which makes every judge, every prosecutor, every lawyer, every beneficiary of the judicial pension fund compromised. So therefore, none of those guys, so no longer are they a court of record. The Constitution says that people have a right to a court of record. A court of record means that the judge cannot, has to be impartial. If a judge's pension fund is funded by this golden goose they call DCYF, and its performances, then that judge is not impartial. So there's one element where there is no due process of law. And they're also using statutes. Statutes are not for the people. Statutes are to regulate government entities and government contractors. And due process of law is exclusively without statutes. And also, there must be an injured party. There must be a corpus delicti as part of due process of law. So they're not courts of record. And this is a very important thing. And these guys are scared that this is going to get shut down. This is why they kicked Leah off the committee.
Yeah.
And they don't want people under oath.
So it is really freaking creepy to watch this happen for anybody that's actually paying attention, because I think that most people don't care about anything court-related, justice-related, until it affects them and their lives personally. And I'm not really...
That's for sure.
I'm not talking down on people for that, because I was the same way. I never thought about police brutality. If somebody had asked me, do we need cops, I probably would have been like, yeah, of course we do. There needs to be laws. I don't want to walk down the street and get killed. We need cops. And then cops were actually, like, infringing on my rights and being crazy to me. It was a really strange situation where I became, like, a constant target of them. And they were, like, coming up to me and saying, being like, hi, Bonnie. And just, like, saying weird things about my life, like that they learned through the grapevine, like, and I didn't even know who these cops were. It's a really freaking weird thing. I didn't think about, should there be cops? Or, you know, is this a great way to do things? Is my due process being trampled on until it actually affected me? So the thing that people need to pay attention to is that these courts, if you end up in them, there is nothing constitutional about them, and there's nothing fair about them, and you're not going to actually find justice through them. And if you find out someone you know has been found guilty of something or other, don't automatically assume that they're a bad person or they did anything wrong at all, even if they got found guilty, because they might have taken a plea deal to not to risk, like, their lives being destroyed. They might have sat in front of a jury and a bunch of idiots named the jury just wanted to go home to Christmas and whatever else they wanted to do, and they just said guilty. There's no such thing as actually fact-finding in court. It's the most ridiculous, unscientific crap I've ever witnessed in my life.
Right. Yeah, I was in the same trial.
Ian Freeman's trial in the federal court, yeah.
Yeah, you spent a little more time than I did, but I probably saw 80% of it, and I got to say, at the end, I was just stunned. The jury found Ian guilty on 8 charges. One of them, the judge went back in and said, no, I don't think you had enough evidence for that, which is fascinating that a former prosecutor is going to go in and say...
It's
unheard of.
Every lawyer has said it's absolutely unheard of that after a jury found Ian guilty of 8 charges, he knocked one off, and now he only has 7 charges.
You know why the judge did that?
Why?
Because they get a knock against them when their judgment or something that they let go to the jury should have never went to the jury, should have been dismissed at appeal.
Yeah, but it's just so weird, because then he shouldn't have let it go to the jury. He should have knocked it off before. It's really freaking weird. Honestly, because of that, the whole trial should have been thrown out, and that's what Ian's lawyers put in, but the judge said no, and one of the reasons he gave was that they were too late, even though they put it in right after he made that decision. It was crazy. It's all stacked against you. None of it makes any sense, and I just think in Ian's case, but also in the case of what Jane is talking about, you just shouldn't expect that courts are actually out to find out what the truth is and what is right and do what's best for anyone. They're not. They're highly motivated by money and pension funds.
So I got a recommendation for some people that want to find out about what's really going on with the court system and a commerce system and the money system and a fractional reserve banking and all of this stuff. There's this guy, Brandon Joe Williams. So he has a website, onestupidf.com, and F has 3 other letters after it in the website that we can't say on the air, but onestupidf+3letters.com is his website, and he's got some, or Brandon Joe Williams, just listen to some of his YouTube interviews, some stuff. He really, really puts this together well, and he's giving it all away for free. He actually has a 39-day course that you can sign up for. It's for free, and every day you get a 45-minute video. I haven't listened to this course yet, but I have a handful of people that have done this course, and they're like, wow, this gives me a whole new perspective on how to deal with the government and how to deal with what's going on. And also, Bonnie, you brought up child trafficking. Well, when you have the Social Security Administration that is giving financial incentives to DCYF to do assessments on children, there's a money that's paid out to incarcerate children, to write up parents, or not incarcerate, but to take children away, take them into custody, they get a check from the federal government. To do an assessment, they get a check from the federal government. To put the kids into foster care, they get a check from the federal government. And then every time that they're, and then they go do multiple assessments. I was listening to this the other day to one family that I have, I can't believe the amount of people contacting me about the nonsense that's going on with them. And if you want to contact me, that's jay@jaynoone.com, jay@jaynoone.com. You can send me an email there. And I'm sorry if I'm going back to you. I don't look at my email every day, but the amount of, you know, incentivization of bad people to do bad things for money to keep their pensions afloat is incredible. And also to add insult to injury here, all the social workers have the ability to take a class. And this class is available all through all states have a certain, this particular class, how to maximize revenue for your local child protective service industrial complex municipal corporation.
How could that be seen as anything other than child trafficking?
It is the definition of child trafficking, but trafficking means buying, selling, or trading.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Mexican coyote,
mm-hmm,
that is getting paid to smuggle children across the border, you are trafficking in children.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a social worker that is getting paid from the federal government, your agency is getting paid to do assessments. Assessments is where they go into the house. Oh, this one lady said that they did 28 assessments on her. They have 28 assessment reports that they did on this particular woman and her family. That is $6,600 each assessment, I think.
Oh, my God.
According, you know, this schedule here. So it is absolutely incredible. And you, if we start looking at where DCYF, Child Protective Services, really, really went rogue and bad and started causing all kinds of havoc, and if we start looking at the lawsuits and where they start, I bet you we're going to come to this really starts with the child Safe Adoption Act that was done, that was put in by a world-class pedophile named Bill Clinton, who has had multiple trips on the Lolita Express, is really good friends with another,
I'm sure they're another all pedophiles,
pedophile,
honestly.
And, you know, Gates and...
Well, as I understand, Bill Clinton's flights on the Lolita Express didn't occur until after his presidency. Not that it particularly matters. And I would also suggest that the people who were prostituting on that flight would have been considered adults in pretty much any culture up until the year.
Yeah, a bunch of them were 16 and 18-year-olds who wanted to be rich, and I really don't consider that half as bad. The thing is, like, people are up in arms about that. Why aren't you up in arms about what Jay is talking about as far as DCYF? Not you, Mark, but the people who are up in arms saying that Jeffrey Epstein is a rapist for the stuff that's come out about him saying to, like, a 17-year-old, you're pretty, you want to be a model? Come live in this apartment I'm giving you. You don't have to pay and live in a luxury apartment, and I'll give you my contacts, and sometimes you can have sex with me or whatever. That sounds pretty normal to me. Honestly, not even immoral in any way. But there are some other things that came out that seem immoral. But the majority of it is not half as bad as these, what's it called, social workers going to people's houses to look for, you didn't take out your trash today.
Oh, there was Cheerios on the floor. There was dirty dishes in the sink. We found an ant. We found this bug. There was outdated, you know, thing of yogurt in the refrigerator. I had yogurt that was 3 years old that I got from my pigs, and I was still feeding it to the pigs, and it was fine. It wasn't even refrigerated.
These are the excuses that, like, a social worker will use to take people's kids away. Or if, like, your neighbors told on you for your kids playing on the driveway.
And there's financial incentive to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the classic definition of child trafficking. And the federal government, the Social Security Administration, and they're not even, it's not even a federal government, it's a federal corporation, whatever it is, and these whole bunch of actors. And the other thing, too, is I did a right-to-know request to the Health and Human Services director for his oath of office, for the oath of office of the director I did it to the director of DCYF, not HHS, for his oath of office. He's since resigned because the DCYF directors are resigning constantly because it's just such a mess. And also for the oath of office of Melissa Coombs, the social worker who committed perjury multiple times.
And
which
came to your house to try to go into your house and interview
your
kids.
And she's, one of the last people I'd ever let anywhere around my kids.
But it came back saying that they have not taken oaths, correct?
They have no oath of office. And I asked them for their insurance policy, their bonding information. They say they don't have a bond. And basically what they said to me is that the taxpayers, that New Hampshire has elected to self-insure. So when these settlements are paid, it doesn't come out of an insurance policy. It comes directly out of the general fund, which is the money gets in there by one way. The threat of being tortured or killed by somebody with a badge and a gun.
Well, before the show ends, I do want to say, during Liberty Forum, Porkfest, Free State Projects event that they had, I mean, Free Talk Live, helped to put on Alt Expo, and, Jay, was your, speech recorded there?
It was, but not a good recording, and only got about two-thirds of it before the camera shut off.
Oh, no. Well, so Jay gave his speech there. I attended it. It was nice. And I also want to say that Free Talk Live threw a party on March 16th, which was the three-year anniversary of the raid, and on our house that ended up with Ian going to jail and ended up with the Crypto 6 all getting convictions and all of that stuff. And it was a great time, so it was great to go see your speech. It was great to see Mark in New Hampshire. He should move back. And he also made an appearance at my party, so that was nice because everybody loves Mark. It's been Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening. You can find more at freetalklive.com. You can go to jnoon.com. That way you can find some information.
And
it's Free Talk Live. Peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.